Amen. I trust that is your prayer, that you may be like Jesus. Finding strength. I remember it was Labor Day, probably about 15 years ago. I was helping Dad work calves, and you know, we have a squeeze chute. The calf goes through, holds their head so we can take care of them. And one of them didn't, I don't remember if it was me or maybe it was somebody else there that was operating the head gate, you know, and weren't quite fast enough, and the calf busts through. I remember when I was a kid, I used to wrestle, and I could get Tim down, so not my brother Tim, but my friend Tim, so I could get this calf down, but problem was Tim, I was able to get him down because he did not weigh 400 pounds like this calf did. And I don't know if it was, you know, as I grabbed around the calf's neck and went almost, I almost had him, okay? Does that count? And I don't know if it was as he pulled out his head out from under my arm, if that's what did it, or if it was his parting kick that did it. But it broke my rib one way or the other. And just let the calf go. But I was not strong enough in that moment to hold the calf down. And there's different situations that come our way where we need strength for our circumstances that is really beyond us. We need strength for something that is bigger than what we've done before. No longer are we wrestling another kid our own size, but we need something that's supernatural, something above and beyond. So that's why I called this message this morning, Finding Strength. Have you heard of those people who have had those extraordinary supernatural encounters with God? Visions, see angels, whatever those experiences are. Sometimes I might have a sense of, oh, I wish I could experience that. But then we look in the biblical context, there's always a price that comes with that. We're going to look at that today in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to turn with me there. 2 Corinthians 12. See, the Apostle Paul had that experience. Apparently, Paul saw into heaven, however that all worked, whether he was physically transported to heaven, whether it was a vision, whatever happened, he had a supernatural experience seeing into what he called, refers to as the third heaven. And as amazing as that would be, you see what Paul says here, and we're going to just start reading verse, you know, the first part of verse 12 he talks about that. We're going to start reading verse 7. Because he had all of these dreams, all these visions, and saw all of these things, it says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In my Bible, those letters are in red. Those are the words of Christ. Listen to those again. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in all of our weaknesses. Therefore, back to the words of Paul, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Why? For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray again. Our Father, as we look to your word here, and as I share some ramblings and thoughts that I have on my heart and my mind, May they be not just my ramblings, but may they be the actual words of life-giving fruit through your Holy Spirit to each one here this morning who needs these words. In Christ's name, amen. Finding strength. Paul had that tremendous example. He says that he boasts in his weakness because Christ has made strength in that. The power of Christ, his perfect strength, is made manifested, made real in our moment of weakness. So I just have three different scriptures I'd like us to kind of look at this morning in ways that we can find strength. And this first one I'm calling like streamlining. You know, if we streamline our circumstances, have you ever seen an airplane with a piece of plywood strapped to its roof? It's not going to work very well. It's going to create drag. And I think that's how sometimes we live our Christian lives. And we'll take this, let's throw it on the roof, strap it on, take one of them ratchet straps, wrap it on, take some duct tape, and that's how we put together our life. But as we see, I'm using the word streamlining. You're not going to look at, you look at a concordance to find streamlining in Scripture, you're not going to find it. But the principle is there. And if you look to Proverbs 4:11 through 15, this is the Proverbs. There's this idea here that we need to make straight paths for us. Paul says in Philippians 4, he says, I can do all things, but he doesn't end there. There's no period there. There's no punctuation, but see, that's how we live our lives. I can do all things. I can do this. Right? Have you ever said something hard? I can do this, giving yourself self-talk. Maybe you need that because maybe you need to do that chore that you don't really care to do, and maybe some self-talk is just what you need at that moment. But you cannot go through your spiritual life that way, saying, I can do this. Paul never said that. He said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's the only way Paul could do these things, was through Christ. And it was doing these things through Christ is how he received his strength. So when you start living your life your way, by your standards, by your desires, you will not have the strength. Therefore, you will not be able to accomplish whatever things anything that may come your way. We must submit to him in order to receive that strength from him. Looking at Proverbs 4:11 through 15, I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in paths of righteousness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, and do not go on it. Turn away from it, and pass on. This reminds me of Hebrews 12, where it says, lay aside every weight that comes upon you. What we're talking about? Streamlining, making your circumstances in such a way, making your spiritual life, the responsibility that we have to conduct ourselves in such a way that God can work and move through our lives. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength that I receive from him, but I must take, it's my responsibility to lay aside those weights that are going to weigh down upon me. Because see, sometimes it's not just about getting more strength, right? But it is about streamlining and efficientizing, that came out sloppy, your life, streamlining your spiritual walk with God, making a priority, keeping the important things important, keeping the first things, right? If you're too busy to do the things that God has asked you to do, then you're too busy. You need to streamline your walk with God and prioritize that. See, we say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength because I have prayed that, Father, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Here in my life, God, would your will be accomplished. And I choose to set aside those distractions and those things, and I am looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. There's much more that could be said and thought about streamlining. I remember Psalm 93, God remembers that we are but dust. See, in our streamlining process, I think what happens is God remembers that we are dust, but do you remember that you are dust? Because see, we see these superhero movies. Yeah, I can do that. Or we see those things portrayed to us, and we see these examples of humans doing great things and great heroes, and we feel like we are falling short, and so we feel sometimes that we have to, in order to be accepted by God, we have to do these great things. In reality, what we have to do to be accepted by God is to be obedient to God. So streamlining, being obedient, laying aside all that stuff that can weigh us down. The other thing I think how we can really gain strength or find strength in our spiritual walk with God is through joy. So for those of you coming to Tuesday night Bible study, you can just plug your ears because this is like a spoiler alert here. But if we go to Nehemiah 8, which we haven't got to in Bible study yet, Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the scribe and the Levites, who were instructing the people, said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." Sometimes I think we feel that we might have this connotation that we need to be going around moping or weeping, or you know, that's a higher level of spirituality. But he says, "Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away and to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Real quick, four takeaways that I see in here. We see here the first thing is just the instructions that are given. He was orderly. He was following his teaching. These are the laws. Verse 10, he says that sometimes in our spiritual walk with God, we need to simply eat. Taking care of ourselves, getting your blood sugar leveled right, it will affect you spiritually. Because when you have these things that are weighing on you physically, and you've got ailments that are weighing down on you, remember, you are dust. And part of your spiritual duty and responsibility is to care for this conglomeration of dust that we are entrusted with. Take care of yourself. The other thing that we need to do is to choose joy. Joy, there's two things I see about joy. The first thing is that joy brings perspective. You see that joy brings perspective, because see what happens is when you start moping and moaning and crying and feeling sorry for yourself, you lose perspective. But joy brings proper and right perspective. When you have joy, you're not having to look for the silver lining, because with joy, it comes from somewhere deeper down inside and brings a contentment deeper down inside, where you don't have to be looking for the silver lining in the cloud. because you choose joy. The fourth thing I see here in this story here from Nehemiah, and that is in that 11th verse. Be still, for this is a sacred day. Be quiet, be still, calm yourself, because this day is sacred. It's set apart, it's holy to God. Holiness is not something to be mourned over. Yes, we stand in awe of God's holiness. But with that sacredness, it says, do not grieve. We need to be quiet before Him. We need to be calm, not grieving. And in that, there must be an expression of joy. And it is in that expression of joy that we then gain strength, and God gives us strength. Are you with me? Finding strength through joy. The third scripture I'd like us to look at is in Proverbs and in Isaiah. And another way that we find strength is in waiting. In waiting. I know God has spoken to me and made promises to me of salvation, of loved ones, of these things. And what happens when you don't see them? You keep waiting. And you keep waiting. And in that waiting, as you embrace that and as you get to hear what God says about waiting, this waiting can actually give you more strength. Did you know that? Because see what happens, there's two different ways you can wait. One is waiting as in with that heart of streamlining joy and contentment. Or are you, in order to wait, if you are saying this is not right, have you ever been in that line? I thought you said there's no waiting for savings, and I'm number 4 in line, and you're not opening up another register. You can start complaining. That's not the waiting that God is speaking of. There's this reality that Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And have you experienced some of that in your life? Hope deferred, it can make the heart sick. But longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And what do? We hope, we wait, we hope, we trust in God. And what is it? God's grace that flows through us and in that waiting. Interesting article in New York Times showed that waiting in line, that when how long did you wait in line? They did a survey, and people overestimated it by 36%. Their time was less in the waiting than what people estimated. And yeah, there's just some. We need to take perspective of that. It was interesting, and I believe this was in Dallas Airport. I don't recall exactly. One of the major airports, I think it was in Dallas. People complained so bad because they'd go down there by the carousel and wait for their bag. The average time, they said it'd take about 1 minute to get from the aircraft to the bag carousel, and then it would take about 6 or 7 minutes, the average wait time at the carousel, to get the bags there. So what the airport did, they added a bunch more staff, and the airlines worked together to streamline that process to get the bags down there quicker, and they were able to cut it down 20%. So it took 2 minutes off that. The complaints didn't really get phased one bit by putting all of these other resources into it. Somebody had the creative idea. You know what? It's perspective. It was their perspective of the wait that was getting them down. Because it would only take 1 minute for them to get there from the airport, from the aircraft to the baggage claim. And then they were still having to wait. After all these doubled up efforts, they're still having to wait 5 or 6 minutes. So 75% of their time, they're standing there stationary. So they rearranged the walkway, made the walk farther. So instead of a 1 minute walk, now they had a 7 minute walk. And lo and behold, their bags magically appeared as they were there. And now it took them longer to get to their car. And is it possible that in our walk with God, that's kind of how we live it out? God is blessing us day by day, sustaining us, giving us these things, giving us peace, giving us the means. And then we're like, oh, a 2-minute wait? Are you kidding me? And as we push back against that, God will say, okay, try this. Expectations. Expectations are another reason that waiting is harder. And I think waiting is harder for us in this generation. It's more common for us in this generation. Our days are so packed that a 2-minute wait is painful for us. 100 years ago, did they have to wait? Sure, yeah, what was it? Like, maybe, don't know, they're going to come back. I mean, you know, if they hit winds on the crossing of the Atlantic, is it going to add weeks to their trip, perhaps? Waiting for your family to come back, you don't know. Weeks, months. Those people waited too. The irony is, the more efficient, the more we know, the less we're willing to wait. But you know, this doesn't change anything. We still, in order to get strength, we gain strength to walk with God, to resist the powers of darkness around us. It is in our spiritual waiting. It's in our waiting on God. I love the passage out of Isaiah 40. It's so familiar to us all. Have you not heard? Do you not know? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power, strength, to the faint. And to him he has no who to him to you who have no might, God increases your strength. Verse 30, even youth shall faint and be weary, young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait, what is the word there? Wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? What is the key to that? The key is waiting on the Lord. It is in this waiting that we gain strength. It is in our joy that we gain strength. And it is in taking responsibility for our life and streamlining our spiritual walk with God, if you will, that we can then receive more strength. I love this passage out of Deuteronomy 33. God promised that as your days, so shall your strength be. As your day, so is your strength. I love to have a plan. I like to know, and plans are great, and I'm not downing plans. I mean, that's part of that streamlining is making plans, okay? But there's this radical trust in our walk with God. It's a moment by moment. God, I need you. I need you at this moment. I need you because it's give us this day our daily bread. And it is in that we can receive strength. Jesus told Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God's power. Let's reverse this a little bit. I mean, this power is what it says. It's God's power. It's interesting, in the mid-1800s, this Swedish physicist, the first name slipped me, but you remember his last name is Nobel. He invented this plastic explosive, this explosive powerful substance. And he's going to create this name for it, and he goes and he's going to find a creative branding for his product, and he goes to the Greek language for power. And it's dynamos. And that's what he says here. For my dynamite is made perfect in weakness. God's supernatural power that Nobel could only mirror a fraction of what we are plugged into. Remember Romans, the same power, the same dynamite that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And so that's how we receive our strength. Day by day, in the waiting, and in our joy, choosing joy over sadness. I'm not talking about an emotion where in proper grieving and tears, but don't let sadness take control of your life. Choose joy. It's kind of like God said in the Old Testament, I put before you life and death. And God hopes that we choose life, but it's up to us to choose. Similarly, the idea could be before us, sadness and joy. I hope you choose joy, because as you choose joy, then you will have the strength day by day, moment by moment, and in your weakness, God is wanting to show himself strong to you. Therefore, we're not going to boast about all the things that we can do, about our resume, how spiritual we are, how many verses we've memorized, and how many times we've read the Bible, and how many XYZs we've done. But it is in that moment and in that trust, God, your grace is sufficient for me. Shall we stand? Heavenly Father, you know each one of us, and you know that we have situations in our life that are difficult for us. Matthew mentioned his arm, and I pray that you'd continue to work a healing there. And Lord, I don't know the rest of the congregation, but you know every one of us have weaknesses. There's not a one of us in here that doesn't have some situation where we need you to be strong for us. And help us, instead of trying to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, may we look to you and find your grace that you've promised to be sufficient for us. And so therefore, as we have Christ working in us, we take great pride in you and what you have done and not in us. And we boast on you, Lord. And we're believing that you want to do something great with us, because in our weakness, then you are strong. And your strength is perfected in us. And may it be so. May each one of us take to heart your words and your Holy Scripture that urges us to follow in these ways and to be diligent, to lay aside all those things that weigh us down, and that we would choose joy, and that we would be patient in our waiting and you working. And may in our waiting, may we not become impatient, but may we become patient and therefore gain more strength and more grace in our life, because we need you, Lord. Go before each one of us. You know what we're going through right now in our past, those things in our past that maybe haven't really been dealt with. I pray that for a full healing, God. You know the things around the corner. You know what this week holds for us. There's no doubt challenges that are laying ahead of us. But we face those challenges with confidence, because we know that in you we can do all things. And we pray for that grace to be poured out in all of our lives. And everybody says, Amen. You are dismissed.